And we're holding on Dalet Amud Beis, second line from the bottom. We quoted a braisa that talks about various details of what happens if there's an avelus that intersects with the wedding, which we discussed that in detail. And we said, Omamar, we said in the braisa, ben kach or ben kach, either way, whether there's avelus involved or not, lo yiva, lo be'erev Shabbos, lo be'matzoi Shabbos, he shouldn't have a first relation with his wife on Erev Shabbos or on Matzoi Shabbos, meaning we talked about that the wedding itself is supposed to take place on Wednesday, but you still could conceivably have that for whatever reason they delayed and hadn't yet had relations. So then the braisa is saying you shouldn't do that on Friday night or on Matzah Shabbos for reasons that we're now going to discuss. And you can also have, again, we said that there can be cases where the wedding does in fact take place on a different day because of an onus or whatever. And so then, and the point is that even so, there's restrictions on that. So, b'shleima b'erev Shabbos, the Gemara says, I can understand why not on Erev Shabbos. And when we say on Erev Shabbos, usually you don't have relations during the day. So it would mean on Friday night. So I can understand why not to do it on Friday night. Mishum chabura, because he's causing a wound. He's breaking her array, he's breaking her basilim. It causes bleeding. So therefore, Sabtana, this price would hold that you can't do that on Shabbos, which we're going to get back to that point, and we're going to begin discussing it more extensively on Hay on the Bays, whether in fact that is the case, la halacha. But right now, fine, let's assume the Tana of this Braisa holds that would be a problem. Elab Matzoi Shabbos amayloi, but why not on Matzoi Shabbos? Shabbos is already over, there's no problem doing malacha. So what's the problem? And the Gemara says, Omer Abzeira Mishum Chashbonis. So the Abzeira says the problem is because you're going to be starting to talk about calculations for your expenses. What happens? The minhag was that on the night when they had when they first had relations, then they would make a suda. So now, so if he does that on Matzah Shabbos, on Matzah Shabbos they would be making a suda. So now on Shabbos he's going to be thinking and he's going to be talking, not just thinking, because thinking itself is not per se also on Shabbos, but he's going to be talking on Shabbos about the expenses, about the plan that he needs to do such and such for this suda. And you're not allowed to make such. You're not allowed to talk about such things on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, why? Yes, but this is, we're talking about a mitzvah over here because the suda of a wedding suda is a mitzvah. Because marriage itself is a mitzvah. We talked about yesterday what Tosfos had said. Why the first relations itself is called a mitzvah, because it creates a closer emotional bond between the husband and the wife, and then it brings the period of Rebbe. Yeah? So there's a mitzvah over here. So calculations and plans that have to do with a mitzvah, miyasiri, are those in fact also, in fact, those are mutter on Shabbos. So what would be the problem with them having the wedding, with them having the wedding party on Motzei Shabbos? And they might think of the plans on, and they might talk about the plans on Shabbos. So what? You'd be allowed to. Didn't Rav Chista and Rav Amnuna both say cheshbonis shal mitzvah mutar lachash from the Shabbos? You're allowed to make calculations regarding mitzvahs on Shabbos. So we're going to give several examples over here, but the first example would be Rispi. In general, you need to do a mitzvah. You're allowed to think. You're allowed to talk about on Shabbos about your plans for what you need to prepare and what your expenses are going to be and so forth for that mitzvah. The Amar Rabbi Elazar poskin tzedakah l'aniyim b'Shabbos. So Rabbi Elazar says you're allowed to decide amounts of tzedakah for the poor on Shabbos. So now that can include, for example, if the gaboy tzedakah decide how much is each person going to get. In Shulchan Aruch, it actually talks about in this connection. When we make mishaberachs on Shabbos and people pledge that I'm going to give X amount and they say a dollar value in the mishaberach, so the achronim talk about, and the Alter Rebbe brings it in Shulchan Aruch from Shulchan Aruch from the Noisa Kalim, that in principle should that be allowed? Maybe not. I mean, it is talking about business on Shabbos, but we can justify it sort of based on all Gemara over here that poskin tzedakah l'aniyim b'Shabbos, that you are allowed to state such things on Shabbos. You're allowed to go on Shabbos to shuls and to Bate Medrash to take care of Iske Rabim, Lefakeach. And Rashi translates literally the Fakeach means to open up, Rashi says, like to open up, to discuss publicly about Iske Rabim, about things that concern the public. So you're allowed to, first of all, the Chiddush is you're allowed to do that in a shul or a Beis Medrash, even though those are supposed to be places for davening and learning. You would think that you're not allowed to deal with mundane matters over there, but since it's Tzorchei Rabim, it's not considered mundane. Number two, that you're allowed to discuss it on Shabbos. Another thing, you're allowed to deal with matters involving pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. Now, we don't really, if we're talking about literal pikuach nefesh, where somebody's life is in immediate danger, then of course we don't really need Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi to be telling us that. We know that Shabbos is doicha. We know that pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos and most other mitzvahs. What we mean is, even when it's not immediate pikuach nefesh, this is something that could have conceivably been dealt with Motzei Shabbos. Nevertheless, we're allowed to deal with it on Shabbos. You're allowed on Shabbos to go to Tautias and Kautias. Now, on the face of it, Tautias and Kautias sounds like it means theaters and circuses, which are places where the goyim gather together, and therefore you'd be allowed to go there in order to take care of communal affairs on Shabbos, to talk to the goyim over there. Rashi translates the word Tautias, though, as Palte Melochim the Shultonim, meaning the palaces of kings and noblemen. So you're allowed to go to such places, Lefakeach al Iske Rabim b'Shabbos, to take care, literally the Fakeach means to uncover Iske Rabim b'Shabbos, again, in other words, to talk with the rulers and with the Goyisha rulers and nobles and whatever about things that concern the Rabbim. An interesting thing is the Rif brings this Gemara in not over here in Ksubas. He brings it in Shabbos. This whole Gemara is also in Shabbos. So he brings it over there. And actually, there's an interesting thing in the text of the Rif. You have a note inserted over there by someone named Reb Shmuel, who I don't know who he is. Anyway, he says that what are you talking about on Shabbos? You need to be told that you're allowed to go to such places even on weekdays, because such places, theaters and circuses, if we take Tautias and Kaukias at face value, that means theaters and circuses, such places you're not even allowed to go on weekdays ordinarily, because the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, it's Moshav Leitzim. It's a place where they gather together and talk and act in a way contrary to Yiddishkeit. So you'd need a heter to go there even on weekdays. Why are you even bothering to mention on Shabbos? To which the Shilti Agdibodim over there on the Rif answers that no, because like Rashi says over here, we're not talking about theaters and circuses where they have their Goyisha entertainments. It's true, maybe you don't belong there on weekdays unless you're going there for matters of Pikuach Nefesh. But as Rashi says over here, we're talking about kings' palaces and whatnot. So therefore, so it's not a matter of Moshe Leitzim. It's a matter of you'd perfectly be allowed to go to such places on weekdays. And the thing is, the chiddush is that you're allowed to go there on Shabbos again because it's Tzorchei Rabim. And so now all this we've been talking about things that have to do with the Rabim. But now we're going to continue and say that the same thing applies even to mitzvahs and concerns involving the yochid. The Tana Dvei Menashia, we learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Menashia, Meshadchen ala tenoikas la'oris v'Shabbos, we're allowed to arrange on Shabbos for a shidduch for a girl. So even though, again, you're not allowed to talk about chafatzecha, you're not allowed to talk about your personal affairs on Shabbos, but all these things, the point is that since the pasuk says you're not allowed to mitzvah cheftzecha, you're not allowed to do anything that involves finding out and uncovering and dealing with your chafotzim, your needs, but chefte shamayim mutarin, but anything that involves Hashem, anything that involves a mitzvah is allowed. All of these things that we're talking about are mitzvahs. So therefore, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. You're allowed to arrange for a shidduch, for a girl. You're allowed to talk about shidduchim on Shabbos. Valatinik, lalamda sefer, lalamda umnus. Similarly, on Shabbos, you can be talking about as for a boy to arrange for him to teach him Torah. So you're allowed to arrange with Melamed. Now, what you're not allowed to do, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you wouldn't be allowed to start talking dollar figures for that. You wouldn't be allowed to say that I want to hire you as a Melamed and I want to pay, and I'm going to pay you, and I offer that I'll pay you X amount per day or week or whatever. That you're not allowed to do, but to arrange that this person will be the Melamed for your child, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So Lamne Umno, so to teach him a trade, which is also a degree of a mitzvah, because you have to teach him that we learn in Kiddushin that a father has to teach his son a trade or a craft or something that he can earn a living with. Anyway, the point is, so all of those things are considered mitzvahs and you're allowed to do them on Shabbos. So returning to our case over here, if a person is making plans on Shabbos for his wedding suda that's going to be after Shabbos, that's also a mitzvah, because where the wedding itself is a mitzvah. So therefore, it should be perfectly allowed to discuss that on Shabbos. And there wouldn't be any. So what's the problem with getting married and having first relations on Matzoi Shabbos? There's one of the popular Shabbos Zmiris by us in Chabad. We don't generally do Zmiris by the Shabbos table, but in the Velt they do. There's a popular one that has a couple of lines in it based on this Gemara. You have a line in there, Chafatzecha Asurim, you're not allowed to do your own affairs. But Gam Lachshav Cheshbonos, also to start figuring out calculations. But he continues, Hurim Mutarim, you're allowed to think about these things on Shabbos, or the Shadach Habonis, and to arrange Shaduchim for girls, Betinikol Lamde Sefer, and to teach a boy, and to teach a boy Torah, and so forth. So that can't be the reason why there'd be a problem, according to the Braisa, of getting married and having first relations on Motzei Shabbos. Ela Omer Abzeira, Zera Shem Yishchet Ben Oif. So the Abzeira says a different reason. The problem is that he might shecht a young bird. So he might forget on Shabbos. He's so busy preparing for his wedding that he might shech a young bird on forgetting that it's Shabbos. Now, why are we saying a young bird? First of all, Tosfos says that actually, the Tosfos brings a girsa, it might not be ben oif, but rather boy oif. Shema yishchet boy, he might shech on it, meaning on Shabbos, oif, a bird. So Shabbos is technically Lashon Nekeva, but Tosfos points out sometimes we do find where it's referred to as Lashon Zachar. On the other hand, Tosfos says that the Girsa Ben Oif is also valid because it means that usually they would shech the young ones. So the Ritva explains over here, we're obviously not dealing with a person who's going to break Shabbos blatantly. And the point is, we're talking about not also where he's doing. The question is why we've mentioned Dafka, a young bird, why we mentioned shechting rather than cooking. So he says, because, for example, a larger bird or an animal or cooking, those take a significant amount of time. By the time he gets too far into it, he's going to remember it's Shabbos, he's going to stop. But shechting a young bird, you can do very quickly, and before he may do it, before he remembers that it's Shabbos. That's why I was saying over here, Ben Oif. So that would be the reason, because he might mistakenly on Shabbos shecht the young bird, which is something that can be done very quickly for the Suda that night. Omele Abaya, but again, Abaya objects to the Zera, Elameata, by that logic, if you're concerned that when a person has a Suda to be done right after Shabbos, or the day after Shabbos, he might mistakenly shecht on Shabbos, by that logic, Yom HaKippurim Shecholius V'Sheni V'Shabbos Yedocha. What if Yom Kippur comes out on Monday? Shouldn't we push it off? We're talking back when the Sanhedrin was Makadosh Al Pi Ariya. So, and for that matter, I mean, nowadays, we could say maybe when the calendar is permanently fixed, as the case may be. In other words, Beis Din should arrange back in those days, for example, if they see that Yom Kippur is going to fall on Monday. So, in other words, so if the first day of Rosh Hashanah is scheduled to come out on Shabbos, so Elul is nearly always 29 days. So if they figure out that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, is going to be on Shabbos, they should postpone it by a day, make Elul that year be 30 days long. That way Yom Kippur will be postponed a day and it won't come out on Monday. Same thing, Zeira Shem Yishchet Ben Oif. You should make a Zeira because for the meal on Erev Yom Kippur, you might mistakenly shech the bird on Shabbos. Now, here Tosfos points out why are we mentioning Davka birds and why are we focusing on Erev Yom Kippur? There are other times during the year when they eat a lot of meat. So Tosfos says that's just it. On those days when they eat a lot of meat, what they do is they eat animal meat mostly. So there's a Mishnah in Chulin that says that there are four Yom Tovim during the year when people tend to shecht and eat a lot of meat. So Rabbi Yisrael really also says Erev Yom Kippur. But in the Galil, they used to shecht. In the Galil, they used to shecht animals. But elsewhere, they didn't. They used to shecht birds. Because on Erev Yom Kippur, the meal has to be relatively light. You don't want to eat something too heavy that'll be hard to digest. So in fact, brings in Shulchan Aruch that for that reason, the meal, or at least the Sudam of Sekus, should consist of lighter foods. So we usually do chicken, for example. So the point is that then they would be more likely to be doing to be shechting birds rather than animals, as opposed to the other times when it mentions over there on Hashanah Rabbah and on Erev Pesach and so forth. Those then they would be tending to be eating animal meat. So Abaya is saying, so by your logic, any time that you have a Suda that involves a lot of bird meat, then you should say you can't have it on Sunday. Because we don't want you having it on Sunday because you might shecht it on Shabbos. So therefore, we should say, in that case, if Yom Kippur is going to come out on Monday, then they should postpone, they should make Elul a day longer so that Yom Kippur will be postponed to Tuesday. And that way, the Suda will be on Monday, and that way you're not going to come to inadvertently shecht on Shabbos. So why don't we do that? And the answer is no, that's not the same thing. No, because there he's only shechting for himself. Or for his family, whatever. So therefore, he's not so deeply involved with it that he's likely to forget it's Shabbos and Shecht. He was making a meal for a whole bunch of people, Torid, so he might be really distracted and forget that it's Shabbos and Shecht. Inami, another possibility, Hosim Islay Ravcha, you could say that there he has more time available. Well, because after all, when does the Erev Yom Kippur Suda take place? It doesn't take place Matzah Shabbos, it takes place sometime during the daytime. So fine. So Sunday morning he can start shechting. He's not in such a rush to shecht the day before. Here he has no time because the actual wedding suda is going to be by night, Matzah Shabbos. So therefore he's gonna be thinking on Shabbos that I have to prepare and I have to shecht, and he's gonna forget that it's Shabbos and end up shechting. So that could be the reason then. Shem Yishchet Ben Oif is a reason why not to get married and have first relations on Matzoi Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Hashta de Osis Lahachi. You know what? Now that you've reached that point and you've said Shem Yishchet Ben Oif, Erev Shabbos Nami Gzeira Shem Yishchet Ben Oif. You know what? You could also say, when it comes to having first relations, Erev Shabbos, meaning Friday night, maybe the reason is also not because it's making a wound, and making a wound on Shabbos is also, which is a point, again, that we're going to start revisiting on Omid Beis and discuss over the next daf and a half or so about whether, in fact, you're allowed to or not. You could say the reason is, again, Shem Yishchet Ben Oif. In other words, because if you get married on Friday night and you have first relations on Friday night, then again you're making a wedding party then on Friday night, and again you might mistakenly forget and shecht that on Friday night. So it comes, you're about to make the wedding party on Friday night, and you're going to realize, you know what, I don't have enough food, and forget and shecht the bird, and it's Shabbos, and you have a problem. So that might be why the Braisa is saying not Matzah Shabbos and not Erev Shabbos either. Now, Iboilahu, now we have a question. We said in the Mishnah B'sulin Isas L'Yom HaRavi. Now, what does that mean? So the wedding is going to take place on Wednesday. And ordinarily, that would mean, since you're not supposed to usually have relations by night, and by day, I mean, then it would mean that they're first going to have relations on Wednesday night going into Thursday. And then we said in the Mishnah, Shim Hoyola Tainis B'sulim, that if he finds that she's not a B'sula, then he's going to right away Thursday morning go to Beis Din and get it figured out. So, Iboilahu, Besula Nisis B'Raviv and Ivelis B'Raviv, do we say that the Besula, when she gets married on Wednesday, that they can actually have first relations during the day on Wednesday? Now, normally we said you're not supposed to have relations during the day. However, the Gemara tells us in a few places that, for example, a Talmid Chacham is allowed to, you know, because you're not allowed, in particular, you're not allowed to have relations in the light. And the Gemara mentions elsewhere, because you might find something unattractive on your wife, which is Gana Olav, and then you're going to consider her unattractive for the future, and it interferes with Shalom Bayis. But on the other hand, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that a Talmid Chacham is allowed to cover the window so no light comes in, and then have relations during the day if he really feels a need for it. So now the question is, are you allowed to do that, to actually have relations during the day on Wednesday itself? And the point is, we're not concerned that if he doesn't find her absula, that from Wednesday until Thursday, he might calm down, and then he might decide, you know what, let's not bother going to Beis Din, I'll live with it. And as we said at the beginning of the Masechta, as Rashi pointed out, there is, after all, the reason why we wanted to go to Beis Din as soon as possible is because there is the possibility that there is an actual Issur involved over here. She may have been Mizaneh Berotzen during the time of the Kiddushin, or if he's a Kohen, then it wouldn't even matter if it was Berotzen, and then she'd be also to him. So are we not concerned that from Wednesday in the middle of the day until Thursday that he's going to calm down? And we say that's fine. Adoma, Besulim, Nisus Beraviv, and Nevelas Bachamishi. Maybe Davka, we want the relations to take place only after dark, only on Wednesday night, Dechayshinim, Le'ikrura Daita, because we're concerned about this Ikrura Daita, and therefore we want the relations to be as close as possible to the time when Beis Din is going to be sitting. So Toshma, the Tony Bakapara. So we can prove from what Bakapara teaches in a Braisa, Besula Nisus Beraviv, and if Elas Bachamishi, he says that a Besula gets married on Wednesday and the first relations take place on Thursday, meaning on Wednesday night, going into Thursday, Hoy over Nemer by Brochel Dogin. Because on Thursday, on the fifth day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, is when Hashem created the fish and gave them a bracha of Pruvu. And Almana, he continues, Almana Nisus Bachamishi, even if Elas Bachamishi, and Almana, or a woman who otherwise is not a Basula anymore, it gets married on Thursday, because for her there's no Tainus Basulim, so we don't have to worry about him having to go to Beis Din. And they have relations the first time on Friday, meaning Thursday night going into Friday, because on Friday, on the sixth day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, Hashem created mankind, Hashem created Adam and Chava, and gave them a bracha of Pruvu as well. So the implication is, the Gemara says, Taima de Mishum Bracha. So what is Bakapara telling us? The only reason to Davka have the relations Wednesday night or Thursday night, respectively, is in order that takes place on the day that's covered by the bracha to the fish or to people, respectively. Evidently, Bakapara is not concerned about Ikrur Daita. Otherwise, he would say flat out, because otherwise you have a Ikrur Daita. The fact that he's only focusing on the bracha implies that's the only reason. And therefore, if a person says, you know what, I don't care about the bracha, so I won't have first relations on the day that has a bracha, I don't care, then apparently it sounds like there would be no problem. So the Gemara says, okay, but according to that logic, why would we say that the Almana should have first relations on Thursday night going into Friday because of the bracha for the people? Instead, let us be able to have relations on Thursday as well, since the bracha for the fish, after all, on Thursday you have an advantage also, because then you have the bracha for the fish. So why would Bakapara Davka be saying in the case of an Almana that you have to wait till Thursday night? In other words, Tosfos teaches out the question. If Bakapara's Braisa had told us that a Besula Nivelos Bachamishi, and the reason is because Ikrure Daita, so therefore, and nothing to do with the bracha for the fish, then we would say, okay, we're on an Almana, there's no issue of Ikrure Daita. And we would say that there's no Ikrura Daita, we would also say that the bracha for the fact that there was a bracha for the fish on Thursday is not important, because who cares about fish? We're not fish, we're people. So then we would say, okay, well then we want, so we understand. In other words, we want it to be associated with a day that has a bracha for people. For a besula, we have no choice because of Ikrura Daita. So we can't have that first relations are going to take place Thursday night, because then what? You're going to have all the way from Thursday night until Monday morning when Beis Din next sits. And we're certainly concerned about Ikrura Daita over that amount of time. So then we would say we understand why the Almana should have relations first on Thursday night, because then they're enjoying the bracha for people. But if you're telling me that with a besula also, the main point is not Ikrura Daita, the main point is the bracha for the fish, well, then why don't we just have that both the besula and the almana have first relations on Thursday, the basula Wednesday night going into Thursday, the almana Thursday during the day, and both of them can be enjoying the bracha for the fish. And the answer is, the Gemara says no, because after all, bracha de adam adif alei. No, because first of all, the bracha for people is more important. So therefore, so we would rather have, whenever possible, that we're going to associate the first be'ilah with the bracha for people. So with a basula, we have no choice. We can't do that because you have the problem of the corroded dieta. So therefore, of necessity, we have to say, okay, you know what? You'll have the second best bracha. Instead of the bracha for people, you'll have a bracha for fish. You'll at least your be'ilah will take place on a night, and will take place on a night that's associated with a bracha of pru or ru, even though it's only for the fish. But for the almana, we don't want to do that. We would say we would rather wait till Thursday night and have it associated with the bracha for people. So that's one reason. The inami mishum shakru. Another reason would be because of a takana of shakru. Now, beginning from the beginning of the Masechta, we talked about the takana of shakru, that we said the Chachamim wanted that a person should be spending 3 days on preparing for the wedding and then and only then get married. That's why we said we sold an isasli and meravi. So you have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday to prepare, and then the wedding takes place on Wednesday. But here we're talking about a different takana of shakru. The Tanya, we learn in a brice. Why did the Chachamim say that Almana should get married on Thursday and the first relations to take place on Friday, meaning on Thursday night? The reason is because if they have relations on Thursday during the day, then the next day on Friday, he's going to get up and go to work like normal, because we assume that during the time after they have first relations, they're going to be wanting to spend more time together. So if it takes place Thursday night going into Friday, then we expect that he's going to want to spend the whole Friday together with her. But if they do it Thursday day, then okay, you know, they sleep Thursday night and Friday for him is already a normal day. The point is, Rashi explains further on and later on Daf Zayin, we're going to talk about how long does the celebration for a wedding last, and the Gemara is going to talk about over there that when you have, if this is a second marriage for both of them, if he is a widower or divorcee, and so is she, then you don't have 7 days of Sheva Brachas, then you only have, so the Gemara discusses over there that you only have 1 day. That you only have 1 day of Sheva Brachas. Actually, the Gemara there explains that what it means is you only have 1 day on which you say the Sheva Brachas. You do actually have 3 days of Simcha, but that's after we have this that we're saying over here, Shokdu. This is a Chassam Sofer explains this, that after we have what all Gemara is telling us about Shokdu, that the Chachamim wanted them to be celebrating together, that he should be exclusively hers and not going to work for 3 days straight. So then, in fact, we have 3 days of Simcha. But Rashi is talking about over here, if we didn't have that takana, then in fact, we would say, once given that there's only 1 day of Sheva Brachas, then that's it. And the next day, he'd already be going to work. So instead, the Chachamim didn't want that. The Chachamim did want that there should be a longer amount of time that he spends together with her. So therefore, Shoktu Chachamim al Takonas B'nai Yisrael, the Chachamim were diligent and careful to arrange a Takonah for B'nai Yisrael, Sheyehei Sameach Ima Shlosha Yamim, that this way the husband will be happy with his wife for 3 days straight, Chamishi B'Shabbos V'Erev Shabbos V'Shabbos. Because what's going to happen? On Thursday is the day of the Chuppah, Friday is Thursday night, they've had relations, so therefore Friday they're still spending time together, and Shabbos is Shabbos, you're not working anyway, so this way you get your 3 days. So Tosfos explains, in other words, now when Bar Kapara said in his Braisa about bracha l'dogim and bracha l'adam, what he really means is the real reason why nisus b'chamishi v'niv elas b'shishi is because of this takana that we just said. But what about the bracha for the fish? You're missing out on that. And the answer is okay, but you have bracha la'adam on Friday, and therefore, so therefore you're not losing out anything by having this takana of shoktu. So this way you have the best of both. You have the 3 days of simcha as well as you have the first relations on a day that has a bracha. So the Gemara says, okay, my ikka ben bracha l'shoktu. Okay, well, so far we have two reasons. Why to have the have why why with an almana the wedding should take place on Thursday and the first relations should take place Thursday night. We have the reason of bracha, that Friday has a bracha for mankind, and you have also because of the shakti, that this way Thursday and Friday and Shabbos, they're being besimcha together. So what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? And the answer is ikubinayu odam bottle. First of all, the nafkamina would be what if the person doesn't have a job? So if you have if we say that the key thing is because of the bracha, you still want the first relations to take place Thursday night, because then you'll have the bracha on Friday. Thursday night, Friday, you have the bracha for humanity. On the other hand, if it's a matter of shakdu, then it doesn't matter. He's not going to be getting up on Friday and going to work anyway because he doesn't have work. Inami yomtiv shechal li yisbeid of Shabbos, or another way of looking at it would be, what if yomtiv comes out on Friday? From the point of view of shakdu, it doesn't matter because he's anyway not going to work on Friday because it's yomtiv. So then there's no particular reason why we need to davka have the first relations Thursday night. They could just as well be Thursday during the day, and then Thursday they're spending together because of the chuppah and first relations. Friday is yomtiv, Shabbos is Shabbos. And then you have your 3 days anyway, then you have your shakru. On the other hand, if it's a matter of the bracha for people, then you don't have that, because on Thursday, instead, you only have the bracha for the fish. So that explains then all why it is that an almana should get married on Thursday. And so we seem to have established that with a basula, we are concerned about ikrure daita, and therefore we want the relations to take place as close as possible to the time of beis din. Therefore, it should be taking place that for Wednesday night rather than Wednesday during the day. Okay. Now that we quoted something from bar kapara, which is a sort of a God-to-like thing, I mean, we brought it in a context of halacha, but still, it's a sort of a God-to-like thing about bracha for fish and bracha for people. So now the Gemara brings something else from bar kapara, a piece of a gadda that also has to do with ma'aseh bereishis. Dorash bar kapara, gedolim ma'aseh tzaddikim yosim ma'aseh shemayim ba'aretz. The works of tzaddikim are greater than the works of heaven and earth. Meaning what tzaddikim accomplish, what they make, and particularly Marashah says, the pasuk that we're going to refer to is talking about the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash, so that the making of that is greater than Hashem's making of heaven and earth. Because when it comes to Hashem making the heavens and the earth, a pasuk describes it, Hashem describes it, af yodi yosta oretz, indeed my hand has founded the earth, hand implying one hand, particularly it means the left hand, v'imini tipcha shemayim, and my right hand has arranged the heavens. So we see that, so to speak, both the heavens and the earth were each created with only one hand of Hashem. And Marsha explains that it means, in particular, we know that Hashem's right hand represents chesed and his left hand represents gvura. So it means that primarily the earth was created using Hashem's midah of gvura, and the heavens using Hashem's midah of chesed. So, but one hand for each. The ilu b'maisi adem shal tzaddikim ksiv, but when it comes to what tzaddikim make, when they built the Mishkan and they built the Beis Hamikdash, the pasuk says, mochan l'shivtecha v'alter Hashem, the pasuk describes it, the foundation that you set up for Hashem, for your dwelling, mikdash, the holy place, adnai koninu yodecha, that Hashem, that your hands, plural, have established. So we see that Hashem's hands, plural, went into making the Mishkan, both chesed and gvura. Marsha relates this to a Gemara in Brachas that says that Bezalel, particularly the architect of the Mishkan, he knew how to combine together the letters with which heaven and earth were made. We just finished in Daily Tanya in the last couple of days. We've been learning the end of Shari Yichavamona, which talks about the idea of how the letters of Hashem's names and Hashem's statements of Yehirakia and so forth created. With that, Hashem created the world, and with that, Hashem keeps the world running. So Bezalel knew how to combine those letters together. So therefore, he had Das. And therefore, he had the ability to bring together both the Yamin and the Smol, and to build the Mishkan with the combination of those. So in Chassidus, it talks about more the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe talks about in Lechut HaTorah and Parshas Nasai, talks about more detail of it. It includes also the fact we see, therefore, that you had combined together Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Dan in the making of the Mishkan, which also represent respectively the Chesed and Gvura. And he goes on to say, now, on the other hand, when you think about it, there are components of the Mishkan that represent Shemayim. There are components that represent Oretz. So why wouldn't it be the same thing then? Well, it sounds like it's the same thing. The same way as Hashem created Shemayim and he created Oretz, the same way they created parts of the Mishkan like this and parts of the Mishkan like that. But he says what it means is that with the Mishkan, it's all one unified thing. And therefore, so in the Mishkan as a whole, you have Chesed and Gvura, as opposed to, you were saying, Shemayim and Oretz are two opposites, kind of, and each, and one is Chesed and one is created more with Chesed and the other one more with Gvura. So that's the advantage of the Maisi, Adem Shal Tzadikim, the Tzadikim, but Saul and Aliyah and everybody else who participated in making the Mishkan, and similarly with the Bati Mikdash, is greater than Hashem's works. There's other places in Chassidus also where it talks about the idea that given that Hashem's creation of Shemayim Va'aretz is that Hashem created Yesh Me'ayim, and on the other hand, Tzadikim, when we do Avodas Habirurim, we're taking the Yesh and turning it into Ayin, and then making it included in Elokus. Then therefore, in a way, that also is included in what the Gemara says over here, that Maisi, Deim Shal Tzadikim, are greater than Hashem's creating of Shemayim Va'aretz, because we're able to take the Yesh and turn it into Ayin, as opposed to Hashem taking Ayin and turning it into Yesh. So we see then that Maisi Adem Shal Tzadikim are greater. So the Gemara says, Heshiv Bavli Echad Rab Chiya Shmai. So a certain time in Chacham from Bavel, named Rab Chiya, asked, what do you mean that you're saying that the world is described as, that each component of it is described as being created with only one hand of Hashem? What about, the Pasuk says, V'yabeshes Yodov Yatzaru. The Pasuk says in Tilim, in the Chunaranana, that the dry land, his hands created, his hands formed, implying both hands were involved in creating the earth. And the answer is Yodoyksiv. The answer is there's actually a Kriyuksiv over there where it says the word Yodov is written without the second Yod, so it can be read as though it said Yodoy. Now, in our Tanakhs, we actually don't have that. We don't have that Kriyuksiv. This is another, we have many examples throughout Shas where they had a different Masoda than that. We had a different Masoda of Chaseiros v'Yeseiros than we do. So they had a Masoda of the Yud being missing over there, but we don't have that. In fact, the Shita B'Kobetza says, so why are we introducing Reb Chiya Davka over here as Bavli? We have Reb Chiya throughout Shas. We never introduce him like that. And the reason is because he says, because the Bavliim were not as expert in Chaseiros V'Yaseiros. So he was unaware of this Chaseiros V'Yaseiros over here, and therefore he had to be told about it. But apparently we're unaware of it either, because the Maisa, we don't have it in our Masoret. Anyway, so the question is, okay, but even if you say that the word Yodav is written without a Yud, still Voxiv Yotzaru, it says, it continues, they formed in the plural. So it still means that both of Hashem's hands are involved in making the earth. And the answer is, okay, what it means is, the Yotzaru in the plural refers to Hashem's fingers, as you have a different passage that expresses it, where David says, when I see your works, when I see your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you established. So yes, we can describe both. We can describe heaven and earth individually as being created with one hand of Hashem, but the hand has five fingers in it. So we can talk about it in the plural, but it's still only one hand, one primary middah for each one of them. Okay, the Gemara says, Mesi, I have another contradiction. A Pasuk says, Hashemayim Mesaprim Kavod Keil, the heavens tell over the glory, the honor, the glory of Hashem, Umase Yodav Magidarakia. And the works of his hands, the sky tells. So in other words, it sounds like, again, we're talking about that both hands are involved in creating the sky and everything in it. The answer is, Ahochikamer, Masi Adem Shal Tzadikim, Mi Magid Harakia. What informs us of the Maisi Adem, of the Tzadikim? We're still going with that Maisi Yodav refers to what the Tzadikim accomplished. So what is it that informs everybody of the Maisi Adem Shal Tzadikim? Is Harakia, the heavens inform us that, for my Nihu Mater, namely when rain falls, to the source of the Tzadikim and their works, and therefore that's a Maisi Yodav, is told by the rakia, but not that the pasuk is implying that the rakia itself is ma'ase yadav, because like we said before, it was created, so to speak, with only one hand of Hashem, not both, as opposed to ma'ase tzedekim. Okay, since we mentioned a drosha bar kapara, so the Gemara mentions another one, and maybe also since we mentioned fingers, and the Gemara mentions another drosha of his regarding fingers, my dichtiv v'yosef tiyolacha al azeinecha. The pasuk says, in connection with the dinim, when the Jewish army goes to war, you should have a shovel together with azeinecha. Now, the simple meaning it is, in other words, the Torah is telling you that you should have a shovel together with your other army equipment, and when you go to the bathroom, then you dig and you cover your excrement with dirt. But why the word azeinecha? If it just meant your weapons, then the word would be something like ziyuncha. So it means, al tikre, azeinecha ela al oznecha. So don't read the word azeinecha, your weapons, but rather oznecha, your ear. So the pasuk is telling you, make sure you have, yosed literally means a peg. So make sure you have pegs for your ears. She'im yishma adam davar she'ein hogun. If a person hears something that he's not supposed to hear, lashon hara or dvarim b'talem or whatever, yaniach etzboi ba'oznav. Then the Torah is telling you, put your fingers in your ears to not listen to it. Maharsha says, in fact, it does relate. It does actually relate. We're not completely taking the pasuk out of context, because the previous pasuk says, "V'nishmautim," we call davar ra, you should guard yourself from any bad thing. So one thing it means that, among other things, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, it means that you should be careful of hirhurim, but in addition, the Gemara also tells us in Avodah Zarah, Maharsha quotes that it means you also have to be careful of dibur ra, of bad speech. So now the pasuk is continuing in that vein, that you should make sure to have pegs for your ears, that if you hear something you're not supposed to, then you plug up your ears with your fingers. This fits with what Rabbi Lazar says. He says, why are a person's fingers shaped like pegs? In other words, why are they thinner at the top? Why are they thinner? Why are they wedge shaped, sort of? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? My time. What do you mean? Well, first we have to figure out, what does he mean by yesedis? Now, there's two ways of understanding what he's saying. It could be the fact that they're separated at all, or the fact that they're shaped, that they're rounded towards the tops. So the Gemara says, my time, do you mean that Rabbi Lazar wants to know why Hashem created a person with separated fingers? Well, you don't need a separate reason for that. The reason is, as a matter of fact, every one of the fingers has its own unique purpose for which, and therefore Hashem had to create them separated, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to use them for those functions. We learn in a braisa, zuzeres, when you count from the little finger going towards the thumb, first you have the little finger, that one is called zeres, and it means you use that to measure the measurement called a zeres. So for example, the Torah tells us that the choshen was a zeres by a zeres when it was folded. So what is a zeres? If you take your hand and you stretch out your fingers as far as possible, you stretch out your little finger and your thumb as far as possible from each other, that measurement from the tip of the little finger to the tip of the thumb is a zeres. So therefore, so Hashem had to create the thumb separate from the little finger separate from the other fingers in order to be able to measure that. The next one, zu kmitza. The next one, the fourth finger, is the kmitza. That's the one when you do kmitza. When you take a koimetz of a mincha, you start with that finger and you take the koimetz with that and the next two fingers next to it. Zu ama. The next one after that is called ama. The middle finger is called ama because that's you measure the measurement called an ama with that from elbow to the tip of the middle, from the elbow to the tip of the middle finger. Zu etzba. The next one is called etzba, and that one is used for when the Torah tells us with achatas and certain other korbanos that the kohen takes with the blood from the blood with his finger and then daubs it on the mizbeach. Which finger? The index finger. And therefore that finger has a name of its own, and therefore it has to be separate. And zegudo. And the last one is the thumb, which is used when we know the Torah tells us, Rashi says, there's a few places in Torah where you have to put blood on and oil in the case of a mitzvah on somebody's thumb. You have by the mitzvah, you have by Aaron, and his sons, by the Chanukah Samishkan. So therefore, so you need a thumb in order to do that. Tosfos gives a different explanation that when you do kmitza, so we know, what does the kohen do? He puts his hand into the flour for the mincha. He scoops up with three fingers. Then he uses his thumb to rub off anything that's sticking out extra on that side, and his little finger on the other side. So therefore, you need a thumb available for that. So that's a reason why the fingers are separated. So we don't need whatever Rabbi Lazar is going to tell us about why your fingers are separated. So what Rabbi Lazar is getting at is elamatam meshupos ki yisedis. Okay, that explains why the fingers have to be separated. But why are they rounded on the end like pegs? Why are they not the same width all the way until the end, or even wider on the ends or whatever? And the reason is, shim yishma adam dava sheina hogun, like we said, that this way, if a person hears something they're not supposed to hear, yaniach hatzba'osa ba'oznav, then this way he can stick his fingers in his ears. If they weren't shaped like that, then you wouldn't be able to do that. Mar Shah says an interesting point over here, that again, the context of this pasuk, yasin tia l'cha ala zinecha, is when a yid is going to war. So the Torah is telling you that when you're in Machne Shechina, then you need separate fingers. If it was just for your own mundane purposes, you wouldn't really need separate fingers, because then what you're not relying on your own power to win the war anyway. You're relying on Hashem. But still, there is a reason why, even for mundane purposes such as war, why Hashem created you with separated fingers and with ones that are rounded. And the reason is, again, so you shouldn't hear something you're not supposed to, so you can put your fingers in your ears. In this vein, also, the Gemara says, Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, but name Ma Oizen Kula Kosha Va'al Yoraka, why is the whole rest of the ear hard or stiff, but it has cartilage in it? And the earlobe is soft, which, in other words, Mar Shah says, the fact that most of the ear is stiff, there's a reason for it. It protects the inner ear. It helps direct the sound into your ear. But the earlobe doesn't really seem to have any particular function. In fact, if you look in Wikipedia on the article on the earlobe, they actually say flat out that the scientists don't know of any reason why people should even have earlobes. So now the Gemara tells us the reason is shem yishma adam davar sheina hogun. This way, if a person hears something that he's not supposed to be hearing, yokuf al yolosofa, then he can bend over the earlobe and stick it in his ear and not hear what he's not supposed to hear. And one more, the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Al Yashmiya Adam La'aznav Dvarim B'Telem. A person should not allow his ears to hear Dvarim B'Telem, to hear empty words. So we're not even talking about Lashon Hara, we're just talking about words that he doesn't have to hear, that are nonsense or whatever. Mepnei She Nichbos Tchila La'Ivarim, because the ears get burnt first. So it means, in other words, that Rashi explains, the metaphor is, if you're, for example, if you're preparing the head of an animal, so Rashi brings, for example, from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Now you have the head of an animal, you want to singe off the hair to prepare it for cooking. So when you singe the head, what could happen is, accidentally, in the course of that, you might end up roasting the ears, because the ears are the softest and thinnest part of the head, and therefore they get burnt first.
What do you mean singe the head?
Meaning it was exactly that. You take the head and you put it over a fire and move it back and forth over a fire, not enough. So you don't hold it in any one place long enough for the head itself to get roasted, but you do it quickly in order to burn off the hair. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara talks about over there that what if a goy is doing that and accidentally in the course of that, he ended up roasting the ears. It's not considered bishalakum because he didn't intend to roast them. The point is that the ears get roasted first. So therefore, metaphorically, we're saying over here, when a person is we're saying the ears get affected by what they hear, by the bad things they hear first. And in Gehenna, that part of the body ends up getting the most severely affected. Meaning, Mar Shah says, it's one thing, for example, when a person sees. Now, you're not supposed to see things that are unsneistic or whatever, but nevertheless, there's no particular mitzvah to, you're not required to close your, now, you see, you have to close your eyes against things that are also, but you can have things that are mutter, but unnecessary. You're not obligated to close your eyes against such things. You're just obligated to close your eyes against things that are also. But when it comes to your ears, not only things that are outright also, like Lashon Hara, but even things that are unnecessary, like Dvarim B'Teilim, you should be closing your ears against them. Now getting back to halacha, so now we have a question. Mahu liver l'chila b'Shabbos? Again, are you allowed to have first relations on Shabbos? Now, what is the question? So we had a braisa before that says that you can't. So Rashi says, first of all, it might be that the chachamim, the amiroim who asked the question, didn't know of that previous braisa. Or they want to know, fine, we heard of the braisa, but is the halacha in fact like it? Tosfos points out another point also. Let's say, for example, we said besulin nisus b'ravi. But let's say, for example, for whatever reason, they didn't have relations on Wednesday night or on Thursday night. Do we have to can they do it for the first time on Friday night, or would we make them have to wait? So what it is before we talked, so we had a braisa before that said that you're not allowed to on Friday night. So Rashi explains that, first of all, the Amoroyim of you maybe didn't know of that braisa, or they wanted to know whether the halacha is like it. And furthermore, Tosfos says it could be. Before we were talking about that even if the wedding takes, that if the wedding takes place on Friday, then you shouldn't have first relations on Friday night, because it was Xeder Shem Yishchet Ben Oif, you might mistakenly shech the bird for the wedding party. But now let's say we're talking about the wedding itself actually took place on Wednesday. Now, for whatever reason, they delayed having relations, and now it's Friday night. Are they allowed? So the question, first of all, and so we're going to have many different angles on the question. First of all, dam mifked pocket or chibure mechaper. First of all, we have to ask, the blood that comes out when the basulim are broken, is it mifked pocket? Is it pooled in place? In other words, mifkad is malosh pikadin, Rashi says. So it's not embedded. It's not embedded into the walls of the rechem, so that you have to make it. So you have to make a wound in order to cause it out. Yeah, in order to bring it out, you have an effect. You have like a door closed in front of it. So as soon as you open the door, then it comes flowing out. It would be similar in that sense to opening a faucet. And in that case, there'd be no problem doing that on Shabbos. Oy chiburi mechaber, or is it actually embedded in the flesh? And the only way you get it out is by causing an injury, by breaking the basulin. So that's first of all. The imtim salam dam nifkad pocket. If you say that it's just that it's pooled in place, meaning that all you're doing in effect is opening the door, well, you have to ask. Well, would you say that what he really wants is to get out the blood? That's the purpose of the first ve'ila, is to get out that blood, the shari. So then that would be mutil, like we're saying, like opening a faucet. Now, why would he need the blood? Tosfos says that Tosfos gives two reasons. Number one, he doesn't want it to bleed in the future, the next time they have relations. So he wants to get out all of the blood of the basulim now. Second of all, Tosfos says that he wants to be able to see whether in fact she's a basula. And as we're going to talk about in a few blocks, one of the ways that you see is in fact whether there is bleeding at the time. So if we say that he needs the dam, then fine. If we say that the blood is mifkad pocket, that it's as if it's like pooled in place behind a door that's closing it off, then it would be mutter. Or maybe you would say the primary thing is he wants there to be a wider opening, that in the future it should be easier to have relations, and then making an opening on Shabbos would be also. Now Tosfos points out that it would be also because Rashi says because of binyan. We're going to talk about later in the sugya that the malacha of building to a certain extent can apply to people as well. In this case, like you, so to speak, building, you're making a hole, or you're enlarging a hole where there wasn't one before. Tosfos points out, wouldn't it be psik resha? And the answer is because it is possible, the Gemara is going to discuss later about the concept called hatoya, where it's possible to sort of enter on an angle in a way that doesn't necessarily break the basulin, but nevertheless causes bleeding. And then therefore, so the Pesach has not been made. So it's not a psik resha. And the intim salam l'damut sarich, if you say that the primary thing is he wants to get out the blood, or pesach memela kasi, and that the opening is going to be made on its own, and it's not a psik resha, well, halacha could have shimon d'amar d'avashen d'skaven mutter, well, we still have to ask, would the halacha be like Reb Shimon that says that if you do a malacha inadvertently, then it's mutter? We have the classic case, for example, that Reb Shimon says you'd be allowed to drag a bench on the dirt, and we're not worried that you might dig up the dirt, because not psik resha. And Reb Shimon would say that's fine. Oy halacha could be hoda dam and dava shein miskaven also. Or would the halacha be like Reb Yehuda, who says that such a thing is also? And therefore, so even if you're not miskaven, but if you end up making a pesach, then according to Reb Yehuda, it would be also. The im tim tzaloy ma halacha could be hoda. If even within that, you could ask, if you say the halacha is like Reb Yehuda and Dov Sheni Miskaven Osir. And by the way, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon's machlokas about Dov Sheni Miskaven is not only in Hilchas Shabbos. It comes up in other areas of halacha as well. For example, is a nazir allowed to, is a nazir allowed to brush his hair? Is there a problem that he might pull out hair? Rabbi Yehuda would say no. Rabbi Shimon would say yes. So if you say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, well, we can ask mekalkel who eats al pesach or mesaken who eats al pesach or eats al pesach. Would we say that him making this opening, removing her besulim, is a kilkul that it makes? It's almost like a damage. Because now in the future she's not a basula anymore. Because after all, a basula is more choshuv than a ba'ula. So therefore, you can argue that what he's doing is mekalkel or mesaken who eats al pesach. Or would we say that what he's doing is something constructive? Now, Rabbi Yehuda holds that. Rabbi Yehuda holds that in general, that malachas, if a person does malacha in a way of makalka, where he's doing it in a destructive, non-constructive way, then it's not considered a malacha daraisa. And fine, even though usually we would say it might be also dirabanan, but here Tosfos says, here after all, there is a mitzvah involved over here, so therefore maybe Rabbi Yehuda would allow it. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says, with certain malachas, we say that makalka is still chayim. It actually fits together with the Dovah Shein. It actually fits together with the Dovah Shein Meskaben, Rashi explains in Shabbos, because Reb Shimon, who holds that Dovah Shein Meskaben is mutter, so therefore he would say there are certain malachas where, by their very nature, they're destructive. If you're going to say that such malachas, a person is potter, if they're destructive, if he's doing it for a destructive purpose, then those wouldn't be malachas at all. Necessarily, Reb Shimon says, we have to say that even with those particular malachas, Mechaba, putting out a fire is one of them, Soyser, whatever, so over here, we could say then that maybe, according to Reb Shimon, if we said that it's mekalkel, then it would be osur. But if we say that halacha is like Reb Yehuda, do we consider it mekalkel or do we consider it a constructive thing? Because now he's making that it's easier to have relations in the future. So all of that is so we have all of those various. So we have all of those various questions. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion, another version of the series of questions went like this: the imtim tzalem and dam chiburim mechaber. Let's go back to the possibility that we said to begin with that the blood might be considered to be mifkad pocket. It's like pooled over there, and it comes out when the basulim are broken. Or is it that it's absorbed into the flesh and it comes out only as a result of the wound? So if you say that it is chiburim mechaber, then you can still ask what dam utzarech va'aser. Would we say he wants to extract the blood, therefore it would be also because then it's a malacha that's needed for its own purpose. Maybe he's doing it for his own hana of having relations, therefore it would be mutter because the blood coming out is a davashen miskaven. Or we don't mean necessarily it would be mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the davashen miskaven would be also, but we mean at least there's a possibility that it would be mutter if we go like Rabbi Shimon. Further, we can ask if he means for hanas atzmai and the blood we can say is coming out on its own, and therefore it's a davashen miskaven. Well, halacha could be Yehuda, or halacha could be Shimon. Well, what would be the halacha by davashen miskaven? The imtim salam alocha could be horda. You could ask still makalka b'chabura or misakin b'chabura. When he creates this wound and then removes the basulim, is it makalkal? Is it a destructive thing? Because now she's not a basula anymore and she loses that importance of a basula. Or is it misakin? Because now he's making it easier for himself and for her in the future. Or misakin b'chabura. The imtim salam makalka b'chabura. The makalkal halocha could be horda or halocha could be shimin. We can still ask when it comes to makalkal. Is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Shimon, where again, when it comes to making a wound, that is one of the things. Choyvel is one of the malachas where Rabbi Shimon would say that even if you're doing it for a destructive purpose, it's still considered a malacha. Well, if we say that here it's a malacha of choyvel, and choyvel, by the way, Rashi and Tosfos argue here and in other places in Shas, what exact under what grounds is choyvel a malacha anyway? It's not one of the 39 malachas. So Rashi explains here and in other places that so Tosfos brings that there's a Rashi elsewhere in Shabbos that explains that choyvel is fundamentally also because of dying, because you're dyeing the skin with the blood. Tosfos doesn't like that reason and says that's more because it's more because of netilas neshama, you're taking away life, you're taking away a certain degree of life from that area where the blood came out, because after all, who Adam, who are nefesh. The Rambam holds yet another thing. The Rambam holds that it's a tolda of the malacha of dosh, which is threshing, taking something out of a natural container, whatever the case. So we know it's a malacha, but you have machlokas under which heading it comes. Right. So now, but the question would be, again, in Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon discuss the question of Mekalkel. Rabbi Yehuda says across the board, any malacha that's done for a purpose of Mekalkel, for a destructive purpose, is not a malacha d'araisa. And again, as Tosfos says over here, it's true, usually it would be also d'rabbanan, but here, b'makom mitzvah, it might be allowed. But on the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says that no, when it comes to Chovel and Mavir, he says there were certain malachas where even if you do it for a destructive purpose, then you're still chayev, because and it goes together with his shitta about malacha shein tzricha legufa, because he would say, if you're going to say malacha shein tzricha legufa, if you're going to say malacha shein tzricha legufa, that you're potter, then you would have to say, how could these things ever be a malacha? They're always done shalai legufa. So therefore, so necessarily he has to say that Chovel and Mavir are chayev. Right. So now over here, would we say, if we say that he's Mekalkel, is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, that Mekalkel is not also Daraisa, or would it be like Rabbi Shimon, that the halacha is? So we'll continue the discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll see what the actual, we'll continue discussing what the halacha is, and then we'll end up, on Zayin Amun Aleph, we'll end up coming out with the actual halacha about having first relations on Shabbos. Nice. Okay, everyone.